Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Glen Radio with Nancy and Lisa, the crazy mother-daughter travel team.
Hey there.
Traveling across the
Welcome
country.
Welcome to Big Glen Radio
public lands and
with
doing
your
interviews
host,
with
Lisa
musicians,
Nancy,
artists,
editors
poets,
of BigGlenMagazine.com.
We cover it all. We're the Big Glen. And today we're so excited to welcome James McCarty onto the show. You know him as a drummer, one of the founding members of the Yardbirds. For Your Love. Nancy, remember our band used to cover
oh,
that?
Cool.
Yep.
Yes.
We used to cover your song.
But yeah, we did.
Don't ask for any of the rights. But no, anyway, we used to cover it. And also Renaissance. We've had Annie Aslam on the show a few times, actually.
Oh, happy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, but welcome. Today, we're going to talk about music, but we're really here to talk about, we're going to go more on the spiritual side of things with your second memoir, She Walks in Beauty. And everyone, James wrote it with Dave Thompson, who also really worked with you on your first memoir, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was surprised he wanted to do this one because he's a real rock writer. And this was something, you know, completely different, as they say. And he said, oh, yeah, why not? Yeah, I'm interested in all this stuff. Let's get on with it. Oh. He's a great guy.
Cool.
This is very cool because it goes into, obviously, the relationship with your wife, Lizzie, who sadly passed away not too long ago. And you talk about communication with her. Nancy and I both have had some interesting experiences with that. And I think we always do communicate with those loved ones who have passed on. Actually, I talk about our band. We used to have a small band in San Diego many years ago, and the bass player and I were kind of hooked up. And then we had to go our separate ways.
I told you not to do it.
Don't date the bass player, but I did. But he passed away. He got married, had kids, and we had two different lives that we were running. And when he passed away, I felt like I was back talking with Matt again. It was this very interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Like I had more communication with him. Obviously, when he was married, I kind of left that alone. But and right before he passed away, he connected with me about this photo of sunshine on a river that I'd taken in Arizona. And and then he passed away. And I was like, that is so weird.
Yes, incredible. The thing is that so much I was taught, because I did a medium course with Suzanne Giesman, who's a medium, a very popular medium in the States. And she ran a Zoom course for 7 weeks. And she taught you how to, you know, how to go about it, what steps to do. And she always said, oh, you need evidence. You can't just say, oh, you're talking to somebody. You need solid evidence. And that was what was interesting, because I got lots of you know, practical evidence in that proved that it was true, that I wasn't just making it up.
Yeah, because when you talk about mediums and psychic spirituality, a lot of time people go, okay, it's the woo-woo thing, you know, that's getting woo-woo. When we've had a number of shows with psychic mediums, and it's actually really quite amazing what happened on these shows. I mean, because was about the evidence too, but you're talking about studying and then even connecting with Lizzie over your manager and the dolly and the skipping rope. Tell everyone, just this is the very beginning of the book, the skipping rope. This is crazy. This is the evidence, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is incredible evidence, because I was going to ring up Mariah in Los Angeles, and I said to Lizzie, I said, well, tell me something about Mariah that I don't know, because she didn't actually know Mariah very well, and we'd obviously never been to her house or anything, and so I rang up Mariah. I asked Lizzie, and then all of a sudden I saw a picture of somebody skipping. I saw a skipping rope in my mind. So I said, okay. So I rang Mariah, and I was talking about business, and it came to the end. And I said, oh, by the way, Mariah, do you like skipping? You know, do you do skipping? And she said, no, I used to when I was a kid, but not now. So I explained communicating with Lizzie, and she said something about a skipping rope to me in relation to you. So Mariah said, hold on a minute. she said, I'm a big fan of Salvador Dali, the painter. And he used to put pictures of Alice in Wonderland in the corners of his paintings, skipping, with a skipping rope. And she said, well, I did a homage to Salvador myself, and I did a sort of a painting thing, and it's a woman skipping with a skipping rope, and the picture's right behind me on the wall. Of course, I couldn't see it, but she sent me the picture, and it's in the book. I mean, it's very accurate. You know,
wow. That's, isn't that, you know, it's so weird when something like that happens, especially if you were sort of close to that kind of thing happening to start with. Now, we were staying in a little cabin in Julian, California, and one night I thought the cabin was on fire because there was all this misty blue swirly stuff above my head, and my cat dove under the covers and went to the bottom of the bed. So I knew something was up because he was scared. And I look up and all this, and I'm like, oh my God, the cabin's on fire. And it made a face, a man's face. And he smiled and he winked and then he went away. So the next day I drew the face and I went to the landlord and I said, what's up with the cabin? Because we knew that a Native American lady, Carolyn, had lived there before, and she put a coyote skin on the door, and she said, there's spirits in there. We're like, yeah, right, whatever. because we're like, okay, all right. And it turned out to be his dad. Now, that's creepy to
me. He was
buried
just down, like, a few yards from the cabin.
He forgot to tell us that part.
Yeah, but there was nothing unpleasant about it, right? It was a...
No, it's just I didn't know, you know, because I'm not a believing ghost kind of person, especially back then. And
they're spirits, Nancy. A little bit.
Yeah, well, to me, it was a ghost because of like... but the thing that got me was the cat's reaction, because his eyes got really big, and he almost looked twice as big. His hair was all out, and then boom, under the covers. Like, so it freaked the cat out. So if it freaks the cat out, it's going to freak me out. Right? But then the guy was all kind and smiley and winked and went away. And I'm like, man, what did I drink last night?
Well, it sounded quite pleasant. It wasn't as creepy, really, was it?
No, not really. No, but it was fine, but it's just something that sticks with you because, you know, whenever I get that, oh, that can't be true, then I remember that. I'm like, well, now just hold on. Could be true.
I know. I get Lizzie telling me things, and that they are, you know, they are true, and I have to go into my mind and say, I don't believe it. I don't know if I believe it, and it's staring me in the face. She's telling me, "Oh, you're going to see some yellow flowers or something," and I go to a walk where there's no flowers, and all of a sudden there's some yellow flowers appearing. Look, I'm looking at them, thinking, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's crazy." You're fine, you know.
Yeah, and that evidence part I think is so important, because you can start the second guessing game of things happens. It's like, how far are we going with this? Because we studied a lot and also worked with a medium in tracing our family history, which apparently we have witches and warlocks and all this cool history out of the Isle of Man. And so it's, and it does what I really like of, and I haven't finished your book yet, and I can't wait. I want to take it bit by bit, because you're kind of reconnects me with something we've been doing for a long time and got away from. We were working with a medium and also doing meditations to really go back in, and everything was connected in our family. Like, you know, the witches at that point were women, the women and the men were talking to animals like we do our dogs and cats, which is normal now, but back then it wasn't. And so they were burned at the stake for that. But look at us pet sitting, and we're big animal people. It all connects. And you talk about them in the very beginning. All those little events are all connected, those threads you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's incredible. I mean, actually, we're all connected. That's what I'm finding out, that the whole universe is all connected.
We went to the Museum of the Occult in San Francisco. And unfortunately, that museum is no longer there. But it was pretty interesting. And we went in because James Kirk, Kirk, was from Star Trek, was saying, come on in and go, boldly go where you've never gone before, kind of thing. So went into the Museum of the Occult, and funny enough, found my family in there from my mom's side. And if there was my family's name, Holroyd, and traced it back. And so that's where we learned that on my mom's side, there were a lot of witches and warlocks.
Yes.
So it's like, and then you feel like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. But you can you use this whole connection? It really is this.
It's weird.
You know, we talk about sixth sense, but isn't it just something that we have to build, like build a muscle? It's like you have to practice.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, exactly. Yes. In fact, most people don't realize that it's the consciousness really that carries on. And the consciousness is nothing to do with the brain or the body. Mm-hmm. The body can die, and the consciousness can go on as that person. Mm. And I remember, I don't know whether you read this bit, but me and Lizzie used to go to a little cafe up in the hills when we used to walk quite near here, about 10 miles away. And she used to talk to the woman that ran it, a French woman, because she spoke quite good French. And after she died, I went up there a couple of weeks later, and I saw this woman, and she said, I saw you and Lizzie, you were walking. It was like a few days ago. You were walking. She was very happy, but you were crying. You were in tears. And she said, I got into work and they told me she died. It was like, a week after she'd passed. And this woman saw us quite clearly. And I thought, well, that really means that Lizzie is around, you know, in some form or other, because she's seen her. It's so strange that she saw me and I was in tears as well. You know, it's very odd, isn't it?
It's, wow. You've got to have that, I think, that open-mindedness sometimes, or maybe not. Like maybe, you know, with that lady's just having this whole other experience, you know, seeing Lizzie and you, that's a trip, you know. But that really kind of talks about how we can be in, that's like two different time zones, really.
Oh, exactly.
That's pretty wild for a person. So that there's really three, because you have the lady, then you and Lizzie, that's three time zones going on. So there's that conscious. We've talked about that before, Nancy, about like, I feel like we talk about soul diving. We can go anywhere if we learn to do it. You know,
I think you've got it there. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
This is cool. Yeah. So this is something you seem to have been interested in from a young child.
Yes, I always was. I was always fascinated with these sort of things. And I spoke a lot, you know, to Keith Ralph in the group about it when we roomed together. And that was our thing, you know, talked about all the UFOs and all the weird things, you know. And I've always been interested, but this sort of really hit me because I had to face it was right in my face, you know. I had to really deal with it in some way or other. And I knew sort of on one level she was okay, but getting deeper into it, it became more fascinating. Mm. And especially with all the, because when she was alive, we spoke and we said, oh, well, how are we going to communicate, you know, when you die? And we didn't have an answer. We said, well, we don't know. But fortunately, we worked out a way.
Wow. It's a trip how that, well, you're already working on it. So maybe that opens up
a
channel of communication already, you know?
Yes.
It's fascinating to me because I really, there are times when we can even our pets over the years are there. And sometimes mm-hmm. they say that you can meet somebody or another, you know, an animal, and the animal will resemble or have a characteristic very similar to your pet. And it's like they're saying hello through another animal. Like, you know what I mean? I know it sounds weird, but I think it's also the same with people. You'll look at someone and you'll go, wow, like it'll just hit you right here that, like, mm-hmm. you'll be talking to someone, all of a sudden you're just like, that's it, I'm talking to somebody else, not you who's in front of you. You know what I mean? I think people jump into bodies.
Yeah. and okay. The pets are all over the other side as well, so mm-hmm. they're not segregated or they don't disappear. Seems like they're there as well. And somebody said, some medium told me, Lizzie's got a house for, you know, when you pass over, she's got a house for you to live in with her.
Oh, well done, Lizzie.
Hello. That's cool.
Wow. Wow. So I wonder about it. I mean, it's to me, what does happen? I mean, you know, if you've got a house, that means structure in some way. So that goes, you know, we always think about it's the soul, you know, escaping the shell. But that's like, maybe we do go to a different planet. That would be kind of cool.
Different planet?
Yeah, we don't need Richard Branson or, you know, Bezos.
Now,
you know?
Don't be so sure.
Who knows? But
somebody else told me, she'd already been, because she always liked Sirius, you know, the planet Sirius.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me, she's been to Sirius. She went to have a look at Sirius.
Wow.
Incredible. So she went there.
Ooh, but that makes it quite exciting about passing on, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, what have we got to be worried about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the stars are. They're all those people who have passed on and they're just floating around looking at different planets. Maybe I'll get a house there.
See, David Bowie.
Maybe I'll get one over there. David Bowie's up there.
Yeah, he knows. He does. Yeah. Don't you think? Have you met him throughout all your...
No, I don't think I've ever met him. But he did record one of our songs.
Hmm.
In fact, two of our songs he recorded. One called Wish You Would, which was an old blues song we used to play, and did Shapes of Things, you know, one of our records.
Yeah,
so,
I always thought he's kind of an alien, like Elon Musk is an alien.
I don't. He's got those eyes, the alien eyes.
He does. He's kind of alien.
Yeah, you know. Here we go. Well, speaking of music too, because I know now, I know how many people are going to tune in waiting for all the rock and roll stories, right? And also with your book, you know, She Walks in Beauty. I mean, it's, I don't know how many readers and, you know, audience members are going to go, well, aren't you talking about the Yardbirds or Renaissance and, you know, rock and roll days? So this is a complete changeover. But I do want to talk about music as, and you do touch on this, when we got into, you know, psychedelic blues, right? When you think about that and just there, we worked with a drummer, Willie, who recently passed on, Little Willie Kellogg.
Willie Kellogg, yeah.
He always said to Nancy never needs to take pot, smoke pot, do anything, because she already sees the butterfly colors. And we called him the butterfly man. And he was all about the drums, because we called him the Shuffle King, the drums, and we listened to Sufi music. We'd listen to every tribal thing there was together. It was, and he played with Moby Grape, that's, and all of those guys, and Flying Burrito Brothers. he was into levitation. He was like, music is your station. It's the levitation station. And that's what the job of a musician is. It's all about, you got to levitate. And I know, we didn't know he passed away. And I just recently found out, and I had this feeling like, Willie's levitated, man. He went to the ultimate levitation, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because if you think it's got to be vibrational, like even when we pass on this vibrational energy.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Energy, you know, the music is so powerful. And I don't know, you know, when we play our repertoire, you know, there's always a fantastic atmosphere. So maybe all the audience is sort of semi-levitating. Who knows, you know?
Well, it's then like, there's,
It's cool, isn't it?
I think it's when you get tribal. And then the blues gets into that zone where you have that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're just sitting there tapping your feet and it's la-di-da-di-da, no. There's something that's elevational. And even prog rock, like Renaissance, right? I always looked at prog rock and I always felt like, I didn't even know the term until we got to this country. I was like, what? To me, it's just good music, you know? But there's always a sense that you are levitating in prog rock. There's this building.
Yeah.
You know?
But you mentioned Sufi music. And they have incredible music for, you know, the soul, for, you know, to really raise your vibration. That's the whole point of the music, you know, to really take you out of your body, actually.
Yeah, that's the levitation. When you get to that stage. But this is what I'm wondering. I once got an album of chakra music, and it totally pissed me off. It made me feel horrible. It was like... And so I was wondering, like, when you write music, it's almost like tuning your body to the sound and vice versa. Does that?
Yeah.
How do you connect that? You know, because you write songs as well. You play guitar. Yeah. And you're multi-instrumentalist. And so when you're writing, do you ever think about how it's going to but how's it going to connect with the audience? Because we choose music according to how we feel, right? What we listen to.
Just when I've had a song idea recently, and it when I play it, it really does elevate me. To do with Lizzie as well, but it does elevate me, and I get that feeling. Oh, she really loves it. She's here listening to it, and she's really enjoying it, you know. I'm up there with her as I'm playing. It's really lovely. But
that's what music and the arts are intended to do, is to transport you from your everyday 9-to-5 job kind of thing and take you somewhere else that is supposed to be more pleasant, something to get you out of every day. I have to do this at this time, have to do that at that time. And you get into that routine and habits that are really boring. So and life slips you by while you're doing that routine. So I find the arts and music especially lifts you out of that. And then I feel that that's its purpose, is to remind you to live life and not just do your daily habit things like.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a Buddhist chanting or something, it really gets you elevated and makes you, you know, connect with the whole of life in a way.
And to really think, to actually really think.
Yeah. You
know, deeper thoughts and to ask questions like, why is the universe this way? Is there really only that many planets? Are we sure about everything we believe in?
The world is not flat.
Are you sure?
You two are quite connected, actually. I don't think I've had an interview quite like this.
That's a little different. I told John, I'm like, dude, this is up our alley. Who knew? I wanted to say, too, you've been to China, the Himalayas, India.
Nice.
And I think also England, is so ancient too with spirituality, you know. And I do believe you have fairies on your islands. I do believe in the fairies. But all your travels, did that change you in the different situations, you know, on spiritual moments? Did it change you going to these places?
It broadens you on some level, somewhere or other. You know, you your mind is expanding in those places, very subtly. It's very mm-hmm. subtle, but it's actually very, very spiritual. I've been to some, you know, wonderful places in India, and it's a fantastic feeling. It's like, oh, what, you know, it's a part of myself that resonates very deeply with it.
And learning, did you learn meditations while you were out there? To me, I've never been to India, and I studied Ayurveda for a while, and I'm into it because I think there's this connection even with self, just even through the, you know, the health practices, the well-being practices that we could all stand to learn a little bit more of. And there's a connection with your soul, and it's like there's this connection with nature, you know, that but did you get to study while you were there and learn any of the techniques?
Well, we followed a Buddhist Lama, and this is Lizzie and me, and we would go to holy sites, you know, and meditate and chant at the sites, you know, with other people. And
wow,
that was quite something. Some of these, you know, places where Buddha had been, and where Buddha got enlightened and all that stuff. And also in China, I mean, some wonderful places in China too, and Nepal. You know, there's beautiful spiritual energy there, really magical.
There's something about being in ancient places and having that connection, and burial sites. It's like you go to a battlefield and you can feel it. You just feel that. We went to Gettysburg last year. I couldn't stand it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We were just like, we need to go. We found a little picnic site and watched woodpeckers and birds and cardinals. And, you know, we were just like, this was too overwhelming. And we saw like people are running around over things. And I'm like,
over the graves.
Everybody stop. Oh. You know, it was just so overwhelming, and not in a nice way. You know what I mean? It just was just hard.
Yeah. No. There was quite a lot of anguish and pain, and it must have been pretty frightening for them all, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine that. But then going the opposite is deep, I think, you know, to be able to meditate. Like the Grand Canyon, I meditated at the Grand Canyon, and that's a trip. And then you get, I better not fall in.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? It's like, woo. So when you're chanting, do you go into a clear zone, or do you get visuals?
No, it just clears your mind. So you just totally, you're actually in the present. I mean, that's the difference for most people, isn't it? We can't be in the present, you know, it's very hard. We're always going forward or remembering what we've done. You know, if we could be in the present moment, we might find ourselves a lot better, but it's not always that easy.
Well, that's another thing with music, though, is you are in the present when you and I think that's a difference even between rehearsing versus being on stage. When you're on stage, you have to
be in that zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Me playing, I have to be right there.
Yeah, you're the drummer. You're the foundation. You're the bass player.
Better be there. Be on the time.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to take you on a walkabout now. So tell us a bit about the cover of She Walks in Beauty. I love it, and I love the butterflies, and there's something, see, there's that nature
there's
thing.
Something about butterflies.
There's butterflies and birds.
Well, you're either reading my mind or I'm reading yours, because I was just gonna say it's incredible the amount of butterflies and birds as well. There's lots of birds I've seen recently in the past year. They all fly, they try and fly in sometimes, and they fly onto the terrace. And it's very obvious that it's, you know, it's not just a bird.
Uh-huh.
But I found apparently, you know, people from the other side can merge their spirit, merge their energy with the bird or the butterfly. And the bird or the butterfly quite like it. They quite enjoy it.
Whoa.
This is what
I want to do that.
Well, because probably they don't have any, possibly don't have preconceived ideas.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, so they're like, oh, that can't be happening, or that's not true.
Yes.
Somebody told me that
the birds are on the world just to play. They're not trying to advance their souls, or they're not trying to get anywhere. They're for playfulness.
Oh, cool.
So, which is nice. They're just playing all day.
Have you read any of Ted Andrews' books? Animal Speak? Yeah, he talks about the connection we have with animals and spirit totems with the natural world. And there's ones on plants and herbs. Not that kind of herb, but maybe, who knows? But but plants and butterflies, and if you see them, what is this meaning to you? You know, what could this, because they bring messages. And that's what he talks about is the animal messages. And butterflies, when our cat Athena passed away, the goddess of all things,
she
passed away. And of course, we're in tears. And that's when we said, we're going on the road full time. That's it. Off we go. And we went to Saguaro National Park. We were in Tucson at the time, Tucson, Arizona. And our friend who had just lost her cat, we all went to our favorite little spot where you could see this big valley. You go up in this little picnic cabin-y thing, and you overlook this valley of saguaro cactus, which is insanely beautiful.
Amazing.
And all the birds hang out there because it's a picnic site. And they people leave things. But we always go for a little hike, and then we open a bottle of champagne and have a picnic. It's quite lovely. So that day, we were waiting. We got there, and somebody had taken our space. And, of course, we're still crying and being babies, you know. And we're like, okay, we'll sit at this place and wait them out. And we'll just stare at them. Well,
until they leave.
I think we opened the champagne or we had a soda or something. And all of these butterflies started to surround us. They were going up, you know, and of course we're thinking it's the moisture. And I'm like, no, this, I know it's that time of year, but they
landed on us.
We were just sitting there in magic surrounded by these butterflies. And then the people left and we walked up to our little space. And then someone tried to call me on my phone and, you know, cause people knew she had passed. And I started walking down to the car and I realized, what are you doing on your phone? You're in a park. You don't need to do all that, and you need to be aware because it's snake season. I look down and there's a big rattlesnake in there, and so I thought, isn't that a bizarre thing to have a snake and butterflies?
And butterflies.
If anybody thinks I'm nuts, no, there is something about it, you know, that these messages, and that's kind of that rebirth.
There was such a message for you there, wasn't there?
Yeah,
with the rattlesnake. Yeah.
Saying, really? Look down.
Yep. Well, next time we went there, there was another rattlesnake. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, that was fun too.
And that one went over my shoe. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. But I think those kind of things, we lose sight of being aware. You know, we promote walking. And I love what you talk about in the beginning with Dave Thompson telling you to write a diary. Because I think there's something in journaling and being observant. You were talking about butterflies and, you know, that observance, we lose that. And I think that's where we lose the connection.
Yeah, because half the time we don't notice. There's little things going on which we miss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't, you know, I read a quote about that just the other day. Something like, you know, that, all these things are going on. If only we could notice them.
Yeah.
You know, aware of them. We're not looking.
Yeah, we're kind of looking, but we're not really seeing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We're too busy in our little agendas, you know.
Yeah, and nature does have the ability to camouflage a lot of critters.
Yeah.
They do much better than we do. I mean, we can dye our hair and all that stuff, but we can't do what nature can do. And we were staying in this lady's house, and I was looking at this tree that was pretty far away, and I kept seeing, like, there's two pairs of eyes, but I'm looking at the bark, the trunk of the tree, and I'm like, there's two eyes there. So I'm saying to Lisa, there's an animal there. And she's like, no, no, no. And I'm like, well, look, there's two eyes. And she's like, you know, sort of. So we walked over, and it turned out to be, what was it, click beetle?
A click beetle.
And it was like three inches long. And
fake
the
eyes.
Wings had two fake eyes on it. And I could see it. Yeah, and if, you know.
It looked like a snake.
It was, yeah, we thought it was going to be a snake. But you normally wouldn't see it. You'd walk right by it and not even know, because it looked like part of the tree. But it was quite amazing, this huge beetle like that. That's with beautiful. Two eyes. Yeah. Awesome.
Wow. So I think
we need to really look at what we're seeing.
Yes.
Or see what we're looking at. We need to tap in.
Mm. I think you need to check in with Suzanne sometime. Have a look at her website, Suzanne Giesman.
Okay.
She talks about all this stuff all the time.
She's
very interesting.
I love that she talks about the evidence, because I think you have to have that. Otherwise, my mind is very creative. And so I wonder always that line between creativity and reality. And what is reality anyway?
Who knows?
That's a fair question.
I was talking to Lizzie one day, and I was downstairs, and she said, and I was planning to watch a football match on the TV, which is upstairs, so she said, oh, there's a message for you. That's what I picked up. There's a message for you. And I thought, message on the football match? What could that be? So I came up and switched it on, and it was Liverpool playing soccer, you know. And their anthem is, oh, you'll never walk alone. And they started singing.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
Those are the confirmations. Really,
yes.
Right? Confirmations. So do you think that we plan our passing, that we know and we've met each other all before this planet, whatever this planet is?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a whole science of that, and there's a guy called Rob Schwartz who does some very interesting books. He says he's written a book called Your Soul's Plan, and he would say that me and Lizzie made this plan before we were born. That one of us was going to look after the other one. You know, one of us was going to die. And one of us was going to look after it, and we agreed. We agreed to that, and for whatever reason, but whether it's connected to a past life or something else. But he said, well, in that way, if you go into that, then you're not a victim, you know, because you made the agreement.
Yeah, it's your agreement, your plan.
It feels better too, knowing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives you a little bit more control over your life, because you kind of know, okay, there's a reason why, you know, these things are happening. Because people go, okay, well, you know, everybody's got their beliefs, religious, spiritual, you know. So obviously, my thing is it's way bigger than what we can ever estimate in our human body, unless we really, that's all we do. Mm-hmm. That's why we have monks who do that all day long, you know. But
yeah.
It's so giant, and we're so microcosmic. But if we it's like species. You take out one type of butterfly, it totally deletes this whole other chain of other species, you know. But it's so grand and huge. And I think we do just keep coming back and forth and recycling. And I think it's so limitless. And I think as human beings, where we're supposed to have the big brain, but, you know, we do so much cruelty in the world. I feel like we're a really important part, obviously, but we limit ourselves all the time and then blame. So if this thing goes wrong over here, well, it's this, it's that, it's this. I mean, all of these things. And if so-and-so did this, well, maybe it was all part of some plan, or maybe we played a chess game at some point and then decided, okay, let's see what happens. We could be another version of ourselves playing ourselves as a game upstairs or something, going, let's see how she does doing this.
Oh, you know, boy.
I mean, there's just, the sky's the limit. It's endless of what could be, but we are very limiting in ourselves as human, the human species. We're limiting, you know.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Well, boggles.
Our bodies are limiting.
Mine's not. It's expanding.
No, our bodies limit us more than our minds, because you can't expand your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But our bodies are our bodies. And I mean, even the best athletes, at some point, they're going to grow older, and their legs are going to go, no, I'm not doing that anymore.
I know.
Nothing but ourselves can free our mind.
Yeah.
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 So, very cool.
Our bodies are not, they're not going to withstand everything.
No.
No, they're not. So we need a new design.
We don't know.
What was it? The $10,000 man or something. What was that?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The bionic man.
No, the $10 million man. I think it was a $10
million man.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So what's next for you? The book is out everywhere, including India, I found out today. Everyone, you can get She Walks in Beauty by James McCarty. But what's next for you? I mean, how's it like on the music front? So all our music lovers, don't get mad at us for talking about beaming up and levitation.
Okay, woo-woo.
Yeah, we're all woo-woo. I was going to say that, but I behaved.
Well, we were going to come over in October and play some East Coast dates.
Oh, cool.
Last month, but it got cancelled. It nearly happened, but the pandemic sort of ruined it. So they put them back till April, and coming in April hopefully.
And this is the Yardbirds, through the Yardbirds.
Yeah,
awesome.
Cool. And we're doing the. What's it called? Flower Power Cruise in March, which is always good fun. We've done that before a couple of times. It goes out of Fort Lauderdale, you know, into the Caribbean.
Cool. Nice.
Nice. That's just down the road from us right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So yeah.
All the Flower Power people come on board and we have a lot of fun. It's great.
That's awesome. Cool. So March, April, everyone in the States. And then are you touring? I know you're in France. Are you touring anywhere in Europe? Or Europe's, it seems hard. It's up and down and all around.
Yeah, not really at the moment, but I'll be doing more writing more tunes and things, you know, hopefully. Have to working.
Oh yeah. Well, please keep us posted. Any new music comes out, please come and join us again. We'd love to have you back on the show and we can all levitate. But we're gonna close with we've got your video and the song Charm. We're gonna close with that. And so before you go though, I do want to ask, what is the instrument behind you up on the
shelf?
Somebody gave me that. That's from China. It's just a little Chinese lute or something like that.
Oh.
Three strings. It's a bit odd, but somebody bought it in China for me.
Oh, yeah. Neat. Neat. I'm always interested in world instruments, you know?
Yeah. Some tablas and all that sort of thing, you know, and frame drums for the Sufi stuff and all that. Yeah, now, I love it all.
What about the Buddhist bowls? When you do the
Tibetan?
Yeah, I've got one of downstairs. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Well, this has been fun, Jim. Thank you so much for, I feel like we're going to levitate, that we can just, you know, I like it. It's all about that, you know, and connectivity. That's why we're the big blend, because everything is connected in life. It really is. It really is.
Well,
we're just, you know, we're just tripping, man. That's it. Everyone, you can go to theyardbirds.com, and also again, go get Jim's book out now. And you've also got, we've got to give a shout out to your first book as well. You've got that out now too. Nobody Told Me is the book. Yeah, that you know what? I like that title. Nobody Told Me. I think that's what I've done to Nancy her whole life. But Nobody Told Me, Mom.
That's what you do when you get pulled over by the police.
Nobody told me.
I know it. You hear it so often, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody told me. See, but now you're not allowed to say that anymore, because, you know, we're not allowed to be victims of circumstance anymore.
Not the victim.
Ah, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and you take care.
Fun.
Okay. And you.
Bye-bye.
Another town, it's such a shock when you settle down. The man on the street says he's 10 below. You better get going, cause there's gonna be snow. I gotta move on, I just can't wait. The clock on the shelf says I'm gonna be late. Wherever I wander, wherever I stray, there's always someone to show me the way. I'm charmed, charmed every day. Is getting confused. I'm so safe, I'm in my bubble, away from the danger, away from the trouble. Look at the blind man trying to see. Think to myself, well, it could have been me. If there's a strike, if there's delay, seems like there's always another way. I'm charmed, charmed every day. There's always someone to show me the way. I'm charmed.